Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was hell or hell.
Lemon face.
Let's go.
John and Shane are gonna be here before we even start.
I know.
John's gonna be like, dude,
I told you I didn't want to talk about fucking Joker, dude.
Oh, I better turn this off. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 232. This is Jorge.
This is Matt,
and this is Red.
What's up, homies?
Que pasó?
You look tired.
No, I'm chill. I'm just very content. Estoy contento.
All right. You're wearing a pretty fresh jacket.
I am. Brand new Who Goes There podcast swag, courtesy the design of Cal G, the Canadian cutie. I'm just going to start calling him that.
The Canadian cutie.
I'm going to make it work. I'm going to get it over. We got cool stickers too, and Patreon will be getting merchandise soon. The rest of you will have the opportunity to buy said merchandise soon as well.
Yeah, Patreon will be getting shirts, stickers.
And maybe something else. We're trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
But
it'll be a cool little present.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
So what's new?
Not much.
It's fuck all with me.
I've got,
that's cool. Getting this out of the way.
I've got two sick kids, a sick wife, and a busy work week.
Why are you not sick?
I've got two sick guns.
Why am I not sick?
Did you get sick first and get all your family sick?
Yes. No, I somehow avoid getting sick.
Is it the HIV medicine?
That's the way to go.
He just walks around coughing in his kids' faces.
I got a flu shot last week.
Oh.
So two weeks ago. So maybe.
You have nanotech in your bloodstream.
Yeah, I've got.
He's got autism now.
You have autism? Congratulations.
Autism and nanotech in my bloodstream. No, I don't know. I tend to avoid like the first run of the colds in this house. And then it's the second one that gets me.
Oh, so, the mutated strain.
Yeah, so I'll get it next week, and then I'll be
That's what the flu shot did for you. I'll be totally fucked.
Good, I'll be gone.
Yeah. Nah, it'll be about that. It'll be about time when you're back.
Oh, good.
That Tuesday you come back, yeah, I'll be hella sick.
Great. We can talk about Three from Hell. That'll be hella sick.
Oh, that'll be hella sick. Man.
That's you, right? What have you been doing?
It's pretty good. Hey, come on, don't look down like that. I've had a good week. And can I do some shout outs to people?
Yeah.
Because I keep thinking about that. There's this NoCal Mike fellow, Mike from horophilia.com and the Fresh Cuts podcast up in Northern California. I have good talks with that guy on the old Instagram. And oh, he sent me a screener for that Killer Sofa movie.
Did you watch it?
I haven't watched it yet, but I want to do a little mini review when next, you know, perhaps next week. So review forthcoming.
Killer Sofa.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe we could do a Halloween screening for Patreon, but George didn't answer me.
I didn't see that message. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Check your iMessage.
Oh, you do that late night iMessage thing.
Yeah,
I do. See it.
Yeah.
I wish you would just get an iPhone so that was just one.
Never.
One thread.
Been there. I've done that.
Yeah, you say that, but you've gotten like 15 different phones in the last 2 years.
Not true, dude. I've had the same. Wait,
that
no,
last
wait.
Phone was
I just,
legit.
I just reset this last phone. Wait, hold on a second. It was 2 weeks ago.
It was different. The phone I got was a piece of shit. I had it for a month and got rid of it.
Yeah.
Got a different
it's
phone.
Every, it's the same story.
All together.
Every Tim. Sorry, continue.
It's okay.
No,
it's
Cal
okay.
Mike.
No, you guys got to work this stuff out.
It's the same retarded garbage every time.
Astaroth Art.
There we go.
Jacob. Ongoing support
Jacob
from this
doesn't
better.
Need a fucking another shout out.
He does. He wants me to watch a movie. I want to let him know.
Dude,
Jacob jerks his own dick enough. We don't need to jerk it for
I
him.
Will yeah. watch this movie soon and review forthcoming. What was the name of the crazy ass movie?
Banana Motherfucker.
Banana Motherfucker. That's the one he wants you to watch.
Yeah. And I have that picture you did of Poltergeist in my room. I love it. I love it. Okay. and Jacob Denton and Donovan, you guys are awesome. Oh, Jamie up in Canada. Congrats on what you got going on up there. And
what has she got going,
on, she
up
got
there?
Going on up she, there? She was doing all right.
Oh, okay.
That's good.
I was like, she has something going on? Cool.
And look, man, sometimes you just got to congratulate someone. And then, And oh, she's spreading the, you know, she helps, her and Jazzy help spread the word about the podcast frequently.
That is true.
That's
that,
very nice.
That is definitely true.
Congratulations for spreading the word about the podcast.
Congratulations on working three jobs, Jamie.
Yeah.
It's real. You're really living the American really, dream really up there in Canada.
Thing. And to Sophia, I miss the fuck out of you and cannot wait to see you. Thank you.
We never said that about the other one, the carbon-based.
That's not, yeah.
Sentient creature.
That's correct.
Do we want me to cut that sentient-based creature bit out?
We can. Either way, the important part is Sophia knows and that the world.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, we just lost about 60 viewers in that 5 minutes.
Nah, I'm deleting most of it.
Okay. What else?
I don't know. I'm waiting on you.
Do you guys want to do like a little bit of news? Or
sure.
Trailers?
Did you guys watch anything first?
I watched Rabid, the Saska sisters movie thing. It is not a good motion picture. I will say that.
Is anybody surprised?
No.
Is anybody clipping that turning that goddamn movie on and being pleasantly like, oh fuck,
you know,
it's not that bad.
I had to give it a chance. I couldn't just be like, you know what, I'm not gonna do it because I know they make shitty movies. I didn't want to have that kind of outlook. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna watch and I'm gonna go into it with an open mind. And holy fuck, was it boring, dude. It's uninspired.
I know. I got 30 seconds in.
They put themselves in the movie
and shut
again,
her down.
And they're doing coke because they're super cool again. So I watched that. I did not like that. And I'm really hoping CM Punk is better in The Girl on the Third Floor.
I peeked in on some like comments on some of the posts.
I'm sure someone's jerking
and,
this shit.
And I just like people are like, oh, it's actually pretty good. And I go, okay, well, if the best fucking criticism you can come to this movie is actually pretty good, then I got no hope for you, man. Because fuck those two.
It's actually pretty good.
God.
Actually pretty good seems like a pretty low bar to set, you know? It's like, well, I expected it to be...
could have been worse.
Complete shit, and it was actually pretty good.
That's pretty good. Now, that would be a positive review, but they
didn't
say
it like
that.
Yeah, like that, but no, they didn't.
I just can't... never again am I watching a thing from them.
We'll see about that.
I'm super done.
What if Patreon wants you to do something?
I will not watch it.
Watch it.
No.
We should do it.
I'm boycotting them. Like just like I'm boycotting Hong Kong. Watch it.
You know, you've never used one of your vetoes. I bet like I wonder if you would use a veto for a sauce.
Oh no, I wouldn't even have to veto it. I'm just not gonna watch it. I declare never again a Sasuke movie.
I mean, it's not a bad choice to
fuck them.
Yeah. Anyways,
what else did they do for the myself and for the people who don't know?
Dumpster number one.
They did
Dumpster two.
They did Dead Hooker in a Trunk. They did See No Evil 2. They did
American Dumpster.
Mary.
What else?
I forgot what else they've done. They wanted to do Deadpool and they did that that Twin Pool thing.
Oh, I remember you guys mentioned
they're supposed to be doing Dead Ringers.
So they like Cronenberg.
They do.
That's a shame.
That is a shame. I don't even like Cronenberg.
I can't wait for the Saskas to remake
I don't
the
like
Fly.
Dead Ringers that much, and I still would be pissed off about them redoing that.
Just wait till she remakes
I don't want to say it in like Cronenberg.
Wait till they remake
it. Not true.
Why are you going to say you don't like Cronenberg?
I didn't. I took it back. I took it back.
Oh,
and I said I didn't like Dead Ringers.
He's like, wait,
wait till they remake what, Matt? What were you saying?
They're talking about
the Fly.
Remaking.
Oh, no, God. They're not going to remake
even
the
touch
Fly.
It.
But I'm saying just wait until they remake the Fly.
Wait till they fucking remake Scanners. Oh my God.
If they wanted to try
it, they did say they wanted to.
Yeah, honestly, I'm kind of surprised Scanners hasn't been rebooted or remade at this point. Because there's a lot of CGI head exploding.
It doesn't need to be.
Of course not. No, I agree.
That's the thing.
I'm just surprised that they haven't fucking CGI head
exploded. It's the same reason they haven't remade The Fly since the early 80s. It doesn't need to be anymore because it's perfect.
Yeah. You like Scanners? Are you a fan of Scanners?
I do like Scanners.
Nice. How about you?
Yeah, dude.
You like? All right, dude. Well, good show. Go watch Scanners.
Go watch Scanners. That's Who Goes Our Podcast for episode 232.
232. Hell yeah. Did you watch anything? No, you just been dealing with sick kids.
Yeah, I finished that movie In the Shadow of the Sun, whatever the fuck. Shadow of the Moon.
Mentioned last week.
It's not good. The end is fuck.
We're just hating everything.
I'm in that mood tonight.
It's just like good old days.
Not
everything sucks and I'm right.
The way that son of a bitch movie ended was not so hot.
Not so good.
Not so
did you
good.
Watch more Marianne?
No.
Oh.
I haven't got around to it.
Damn.
I didn't want to. I mean, because I know once I do, I'll have, you know, I'll commit. I got to commit to that shit.
I did watch the second episode of Creepshow.
Yeah.
It wasn't as good as the first one, but it was still really enjoyable.
I heard there was an upcoming one being teased where a guy's like confined in a box that supposedly looks very unsettling.
You mean like he's the man in the box?
I'm the man in the box.
That's so unsettled.
Yes. You, what? It's what? An actual thing. Haven't you ever been unsettled?
I was talking about South Park, you fuck.
Fuck South Park.
George is Redditing while he's doing the show.
Yeah, why are you doing
he's
that?
He's multitasking.
I was looking to see if I had seen any movies.
Oh.
I saw Dr. Giggles, but we'll talk about that at the next
episode. Yeah, I watched Dr. Giggles too.
Yeah, I'll watch Dr. Giggles.
I can't, dude. I'll just say that right out of the fucking gate.
That giggle
Larry,
is great.
Larry, what's his name? Larry Clark? That motherfucker
can giggle.
He can giggle. He can. He committed to this role.
You know what, dude?
LA, that, what he did on LA Law was nothing.
That title,
yo,
it's not bullshit.
He giggles with the best of them.
He's a giggling fuck.
Did for the film we're doing tonight? Did either of you or both of you see the teaser trailer for Tenet?
No,
the new Christopher Nolan movie.
No,
I did.
And it looked, and it's a teaser. You know how if people aren't familiar, Christopher Nolan did Inception, The Dark Knight.
People aren't
trilogy.
Familiar with teasers.
If they're not familiar with three cheeser pleasers, it's three different types of weed mixed together.
And that sounds delightful.
Yeah. So
you get like the northern winds.
God damn.
But yeah, the teaser looks fucking amazing because he's really good at that. And you do you have any clue what it's about? No. You have no clue. It's all vibe and atmosphere, and it's like I need to know what the
all,
fuck this movie is.
All
about.
Vibe all the time.
Yeah. And it looks fucking great. And it comes out next summer. So
that's
good
a
job
long
teasing.
Ways
long
off.
Long wait.
That's
what
he
fuck.
That's what he does.
Don't be doing that.
I did finally see the trailer for Little Monsters. That shit looks good.
It looks really
I'm
good.
I'm so in.
That title is unfortunate, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, one, well, it reminds, yeah, yeah, I was going to say, it reminds me of that.
In my heart, dude.
Well, you know, dude, it's one
like,
of those
dude, now I
got to
sort through both of them when I want to pirate. I mean, buy
them
legally.
They probably
legally.
Wanted to call it Lil Monsters, but nobody would take it seriously.
White people don't know how to spell Lil.
Right. That's what I mean.
And then this film, Lucky
white
Day.
White people.
With Crispin Glover.
Uh-huh.
I think Crispin Glover should win
every award.
Yeah, basically.
Just and, for his dancing in Friday the 13th
for
Part
all,
4?
Dude, just for... Oh, he's so good.
I like him as an actor. I think he's,
I really do, though.
I think he's...
I hear he's a complete dick.
I don't think... I, see,
that's what I've heard,
too. I don't think... I've heard that he's a weirdo.
He's
but
eccentric.
Not a,
he's
but
got
not
be.
A dick.
Maybe someone who thinks eccentric people are dicks because they're judgmental dicks thinks he's a dick.
What? It's dicks all the way down.
Dicks all around. Dicks
dick
out.
Month.
Sadly, okay.
Sadly, it goes away with Jonathan Barkon.
Well, but now that he's gone,
that trailer,
we can
though,
get Dick Month.
Who? Who's gone?
Who?
The oppressor of Dick Month.
Oh. Yeah.
All right. All right, okay.
Only DC folks will get that.
So Roger Avery was the co-writer of Pulp Fiction, but he directed Killing Zoe. He wrote Silent Hill, and he also directed Rules of Attraction, but he's doing this movie Lucky Day with Crispin Glover playing a hitman and who believes he's French. And if you look at the trailer, he blows some heads off and slices a dude's throat, and it looks pretty graphic, and it
and
looks
he goes,
pretty
le tired.
Yeah. What does the French have to do with anything, though?
I don't think it has anything to do with anything. I mean, I can't tell from the trailer.
Just means he smells, and so, like...
No, he's not French.
He kills
he
people...
thinks he's French.
Kills people who tell him he smells.
Yeah, it means there's a layer of him being delusional, which makes him even more crisp and glovery. We get to hear him act with a mock French accent, and I want to see that.
He's like, I'm in.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't see any big news, though.
Did you guys? Well, you wouldn't have cared all that
what?
Much. But did you see that the Ghostbusters video game got a HD refresh and re-release on basically every platform?
I heard it was supposed to be done. I didn't know it actually got done.
It released 4 days ago.
What?
Yeah.
Because guess what? I'm going to start streaming now.
So I will tell you this. I dipped my toe in. It is definitely a 10-year-old game. So I remember, okay. I remember that game being really fun, and
it's not.
I remember it controlling very nicely. It does not. It's kind of a mess.
Ooh, I wonder if that's just the.
It's a 10-year-old game. I mean, it's a 10-year-old game that got refreshed graphics, but it's still the same game. So it's got mechanics from 10 years ago and whatnot. It's still fun.
It's only a $15 game.
It's cheap. Yeah. So I picked it up just because I was like, let's check it out. And it's pretty. It's nice looking.
Very faithful to the source material, like the right?
What did you play this on?
I played it on Switch.
Ah, so we can't play together.
I don't think we can play together anyways. They stripped out the multiplayer.
Oh, did they? Yeah. It's a single player?
Uh-huh.
Why would they do that?
That's weird.
Probably to make it easy to put out on all the platforms. Because it's out on everything.
Oh, it looks cheesy as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, this is HD, but like, why do they look worse than they did in the original game?
Well, because there's only so much you can do. And remember, and think about it too, like, what do you think about video games 10 years ago? Like, everything looked awesome?
You don't know shit
about I remember them, it did not look this bad. Like, this is really fucking hokey.
It looked worse. It was on the fucking Xbox 360, for Christ's sake.
Let me see.
It's not good content.
Nope. Nah, dude, it looked way better.
It looks better. The game looks better now, visually. But it plays the same, and it's clunky. It's kind of like people have that soft spot in their heart for GoldenEye, and you go back.
No, that's a fucking nightmare to play.
You fucking go back and play GoldenEye, and you're like, we were fucking dumb.
I'm like, how was I good at these controllers? Like, I have no idea what the fuck is happening.
Yeah, it's that same deal where you're like, okay, I couldn't aim for shit. I couldn't. Turn my head for shit, and Odd Job is the worst. That's basically the experience of GoldenEye. But anywho, it's the same kind of thing where I like.
Yeah, you're strafing all the time.
You're just always
sideways.
Yeah. So I think the game is still good, but it definitely feels old.
Hmm.
They didn't update much else other than the graphics and some frame rate stuff.
Well, that is unfortunate.
I think worth the $15 if you've got nostalgia boners for that game. I would definitely try it again, but be prepared. It's a 10-year-old game.
Be prepared for it to be Bobo.
Yep. Well, it's not bad. Again, not bad. Not bad. Not bad.
Do you see that the axe from The Shining sold for $200,000?
Wow.
Yeah, dude. Crazy as fuck.
That's, that's a pretty fucking iconic piece there. That's the one that chopped the door down with Here's Johnny and everything, right?
Would you pay $200,000 if you had it?
But this is some like fucking oil baron or something.
And for the record, look at that. That's the old one. That looks way better than fucking this garbage. Look at that.
I will.
The faces.
I will kindly disagree because that wrong. First image.
I'm going to show you on the break how wrong you
the
are.
The first image is not from the 360. It's probably from like an up-resed version of the PC version.
You're from an up-resed version, PC version.
All right. Anywho, yeah, it's fine. It's fun. I guess it's okay. Whatevs.
What would you pay $200,000 for? Like a movie prop? If you could have any movie prop,
the original Xenomorph costume.
The one with the arms that are like, woo.
Yeah.
$200,000?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would even probably pay a little bit more.
God damn. Really have to think about that.
Any prop.
I mean, that's really, really, really tough.
I mean, for me, it would probably be either Kurt Russell's tank top from Big Trouble in Little China.
The original.
Yeah, the original with the sweat stain still in it. Or like his fucking jacket from The Thing.
How about just get the semi-truck?
Oh, God. Can you imagine? Where would I put it, though? That's the problem.
I know this may sound weird. Like,
no, I would want Egg Shen's Six Demon bag. That's what I would want.
All right.
It's just like a bag made of hair.
I don't know that I can't really. That stuff doesn't really interest me. Like, I don't know. Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know.
There's like nothing where it's
the VHS of a fucking movie. Like it's, I have the VHS. I'm good.
Even if it was like, like you had the cross that Reagan banged herself with in The Exorcist, and you're
that's
like,
fucking great. See, I'm not even thinking like that though. Yeah, I don't know, dude. Man. I like, you know, not memorabilia like that. It just
something from Mandy.
Yeah, like that big fucking crazy axe thing.
That wouldn't be the thing. Eh, no. Maybe something from fucking, honestly, maybe something from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Just, you know what, dude? Harrison Ford's corpse.
Yeah. And I could bang his corpse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on, man.
I mean, like, why not?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Come on. Loosen up, dude. Let's talk about corpse fucking. Okay. So,
we need Carlos.
I think the little,
he's baby fucking.
The beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark, the thing with the
gold statue.
The little gold statue, that would be tight.
That would be tight.
Hella tight.
Hella fucking tight. All right.
Yeah. I'm happy with that. That would look good on a coffee table.
And you would be like, that would strike conversation up too. Be like, oh, is that? It sure fucking is. It
sure fucking is. A lot of people died for this motherfucker.
Stupid. Hey, you looked at me like sincerely right now.
Melting faces.
Oh, fuck. Should we get on with this movie review?
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll be right back. I'm going to get a drink because
life is hard.
Life is hard. And why won't anybody fuck my pussy?
Why won't anybody fuck? I don't want to be the drunk girl at the party.
Hello, boils and ghouls. It's me, the Crypt Keeper. And who goes there? Listen to this creepy podcast presented by a bunch of drunken, cynical, misanthropic idiots. And that's the good part.
Oh, God. Well, here we go. Matthew?
Yes?
What's up with the Patreon, dude?
Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast is full of some of my favorite people in the world, like Hans and King Sam and Jamie and all kinds of other people, a bunch of them Rhett said earlier. But they're my favorite people in the world because they're supporting our vision of a better future by financially supporting this show. You can be one of my favorite people too if you go to patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast and help us out. And in return, you'll get some stuff like, I don't know, exclusive content, bonus episodes, exclusive merchandise, and, you know, little fun events that we do. So go to patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast and you can do them too.
Wow.
You can do them too.
So, the Who Goes Your Podcast watched a little movie called Joker? Yeah, it's just Joker. It's not the Joker.
Just Joker.
Just call me Joker. Can you introduce me as Joker?
Written and directed by Todd Phillips, starring Joaquin Phoenix, Robert De Niro, Zazie Beetz, Francis Conroy,
Zazie Beetz, Brett that's a tight Cullen, name.
Shea Whigham, Bill Camp, Glenn Fleshler. That's a name.
Fleshlight.
Fleshler. Lee Gill, who was the LP of the movie. And that's good enough.
Could you explain what LP means?
That's good enough. That's good enough.
Did you mention Joaquin Phoenix? It's a joke.
Matt Smith?
Joaquin? Yes.
What'd George. You think of Joker, dude?
I honestly don't know. I was bored as fuck. I will say that. I can tell it's a really pretty movie, and I'm sure it's a good movie. It's not what I expected. It's not what I wanted. And I just think it's okay. I think the story is boring. But yeah,
okay.
That's pretty much it. I really wanted to see it again because I think once I realized that like it's not a movie that, or it's not the movie I expected it to, I wanted to try and watch it in the context of what I now knew that it was. And I didn't get a chance to do that. So,
mm-hmm. All right, Rhett.
Yes, I've saw it twice, and I do relate to one thing Matt said. The movie, I didn't know what to expect with this movie because it's is qualitatively different than any comic book movie. It already looked that way in the trailer. It looked right. like a completely
do,
different
Do we
approach.
Even want to consider it a comic book movie?
I will, and that's why I kind of brought some notes to expound upon that later about the, there's a
when
thing
we get
DC
into
does.
A little bit more spoilery stuff.
Well, yeah, and DC talks... Yeah, exactly. DC has a thing called Elseworlds in their own imprint where there's alternate versions of the characters. And,
right.
And this is the best way to take this film is as an Elseworlds. It's basically the darkest fucking Elseworlds I can imagine. And it does some, you know, that's all super nerdy comic stuff, though. But anyway, the film itself, I really, okay, it's a beautiful film to look at. Mm-hmm. His performance was fucking ridiculous. I really respected its audacity. Until the third act, though, I wasn't sure if I was sold on what was going on. And then the third act of this thing, fucking, it had some of the most, for me, my experience in the theater with it, was basically pretty electric, honestly. I felt it really validated everything that happened before. And I was frankly kind of shocked it went where it went and the way it did. Then I wanted to see it again to make sure, to see how things sat with me. Because I didn't know the whole time the first watch, honestly, this is a movie, it's been a while since I felt this way. I was like, are they going to fuck this up? But I kept noticing like the color grading. Like the
we'll get to that stuff.
So second viewing, I mean, I enjoyed it the first time and was blown away with the third act. Second viewing, I'd go so far as to say that this is even in time, like this is a big fucking movie. Everyone knows about this movie. Yeah. It's split people down the middle. It's divisive.
Well, and we'll talk about that stuff a little further. I did want to touch on the.
I think it's near genius, honestly. After seeing it the second time,
okay.
On its own merits.
I kind of lean towards Matt on this one. I like it. I like the film quite a bit. A lot of what was happening, fantastic filmmaking. You know, it's got a look that is unmatched in terms of, you know, actual visuals. Joaquin Phoenix is killing it as Joker and Arthur. But until the third act, you're right, Matt. The movie's kind of it kind of.
Well, that's what I said.
It's a slog.
It's a bit of a slog, and then my issue with the third act, when things start happening, is that I do not like his motivations. And I'll get into that a little bit more as we get more into spoiler talk, but. And also, I do feel like Arthur as a character. I think that I personally feel a lot of his
alienation.
Yeah, like I get it. Like I feel like the way obviously it's Arthur's thing is like to a crazy point.
But you
I
understand.
Feel yeah. like a lot of my anxiety is very similar. And so I found myself being a little uncomfortable, and I was like, this is a little too fucking close to home.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's too close to home.
So,
is that something you can knock the movie for, though?
No.
I don't think he's knocking it. I think he's like, you know,
that's
connected
not a knock.
To
that's
it
specifically because not of a that. Knock.
Okay.
And so overall, I will say I enjoyed it. And when we talk about more specific things, we can expand on other things. But yeah, I'm mostly positive. A little bit kind of boring in the beginning, and then that third act is something else. But some of the motivations for the third act I have issue with.
Okay. So where the fuck do we go from there?
It's complicated, right? Yeah. Like it is.
Okay, so let's when you talk about the beginning, there were things that I mean, right out of the gate, it starts with him doing the makeup. And you remember, that's a fucking remarkable scene. Like, he squeezes the tear out and his face. Now, this stuff on second viewing, like, is more fucking powerful. And then, because you know where this is going.
Well, so I actually, sorry to interrupt. I was watching a video before I came over here where the director's kind of breaking down mm-hmm. the beginning.
Yeah. And I saw that same video.
Yeah, and he's talking about how, like, they show the setup where it's under the bridge and it's kind of like shitty and you know, he talks about the scenery and stuff. And he's like, I wanted to really convey like the type of area that, what is it? Ha-has or chuckles or something.
Yeah. Something like
that. I wanted to convey the type of area that this ha-has place would be in to show like the kind of business that it is that rents out these, you know, strippers and clowns and magicians and all that shit. So basically showing how shitty it is from the beginning.
Yeah.
So,
and you really get this is the shitty version of Gotham.
Yeah.
Like, this is the version that is gross, and there's no, I mean, and I guess spoilers from here on out. If you haven't seen the movie, probably turn back, because like,
it's pretty hard to talk
about
it.
It's hard to talk about it. The version of Bruce Wayne's father in this movie is like,
he's monstrous.
He's a monster. Yeah. And even though he may be right about Arthur not being his child, the way he goes about it is awful. I mean,
well, that's also, there's ambiguity there. Just because his mom's crazy doesn't mean that it's not his child.
Right.
That doesn't, yeah. That doesn't,
wait, so I'm not.
I think that's purposely ambiguous. And that the point is, either way, he's, you know, the point is made that like, people, there are certain people that you have to care about. And there are certain people that you walk past in the street.
Right.
And that's...
So I'm not very familiar with the Batman mythos. So yeah. Like, how canon is all of this?
None of it.
So
that's
like,
the thing.
Because Bruce Wayne's dad wasn't like a dick, right? And like...
Well, no.
Did the Joker go crazy?
That's the thing. In the source material, you can... these characters are portrayed different ways depending who's writing them.
Yeah.
But look...
Well, like, and also it's who we're viewing them from. I mean, because the Waynes, from their side of things, yeah, they're, you know, they're philanthropists, and they, you know, and they rescued Gotham and whatnot. But maybe from Arthur's angle, they're a bunch of cocksuckers. Yeah. And, you know, that it does spin that a little bit.
Well, it's also, okay, Todd Phillips, the director writer of this, the guy who developed this for a long time, he's using the Joker and the Batman mythos as a means to kind of bring up timely issues and real life social issues, like the freaking huge gap between the rich and the poor.
Yeah.
So the Wayne family become a very good fucking metaphor for that. And what he does is he turns this into kind of like an allegory about environment. Like, you have one kid who's raised here and one kid who's raised here. The Elseworld stuff I was talking about earlier, other examples of that, like, for instance, there's in the comics, there's one called Superman Red Sun, where he's, you know how he lands in Kansas. And because he lands in Kansas, that's kind of responsible for his upbringing. In this version, he lands in Soviet Russia, okay? And then he's used as a weapon for Russia and everything like that during World War II. So that's the kind of thing Elseworlds does. That's the best way to view this movie. If it's canon or not, like, no, it's about the essence of the character being reworked and used for something else.
I guess to your sort of, to your larger question,
yeah,
in terms of like the Batman mythos, it's pretty on script in terms of, you know, Bruce Wayne's parents being killed, coming out of a
event. I knew about that, getting shot in an alley.
But I mean, this whole thing there's you know, in Batman, the Tim Burton one, it was Joker who killed his parents, and, you know,
and that was way not correct either, but it worked in that film. So there's already multiple iterations of this thing, you know.
And people have, I've noticed too, people have been having trouble with this age gap nonsense.
You know, I was going to ask about that, because I assumed that Batman and Joker were like roughly the same age.
You're not going to, in all likelihood, I would highly doubt you see this in the extended universe. That's what I mean. The best way to take this is,
yeah, like, as a standalone thing.
It's a standalone. That's what I mean by
it. Well, for me, it almost is, because like, I'm very non-versed in Batman, you know. I know like the most basic of like Batman's parents were murdered, and like, well, I thought the Joker was responsible, and I guess through this he passively is responsible,
right, secondarily.
Yeah, there's, yeah, another like Elseworlds where it's called Batman by Gaslight, and it's where he's hunting Jack the Ripper in Victorian England. So there's all these different alternate versions of stuff. So that's the best way to take this film. This is a modernized, it takes place, what, seemingly the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, I would.
Right out of the gate with the Warner Brothers logo. In the DNA of this movie is fucking Taxi Driver, Scorsese's.
Well, yeah, I mean, that...
The King of Comedy. Well, no, it should be mentioned.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying is that, like, it's wearing its influences on its sleeve. Like, yeah, there's no question where they're bringing...
What really began to resonate with me in the third act and then the second viewing, because then I went into the second viewing with all the power of the third act behind it for me.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about
everything building towards that.
You're right. And then I saw the structure. Over. Then I saw how intricate this fucking was. And then I saw how much tension was fucking built and released. And then I'm like on this show a lot, I'm always talking about, not always, but frequently, why is it like we like villains, and why do people want to go see someone get murdered, and why do people root for Michael Myers? And if there was ever a film that makes you examine that fucking Daddy question, Myers. If there's ever a film that made you overtly examine that question, it's this movie.
Well,
and that's what they're doing. That's why he used a popular character.
In real life, you know, this movie has had a little bit of contention surrounding it.
Wait, so you think that they were using this movie to ask the question, why do we root for the killer?
In a sense, because, what do you want to see in this film?
It's like, well, I didn't really...
What's the most entertaining and gratifying part of the movie?
Well, right, the violence, but like...
Well, there it is.
Well, I just saw that as like...
Everyone has like a little bit of Joker in them. And not not a... That. See, I didn't, well, that.
I didn't find that as like a rooting for the killer thing. I mean, you're rooting...
No, I mean, why do you root for the killer?
Well,
when you
normally
see a movie,
I root for the killer because I want to see people get murdered because I'm a sick fuck. But in this, like,
well,
I was rooting for. No, I am. Okay. But I was rooting for Arthur in this because, like, he's so fucking meek and miserable.
And we got a backstory.
You just really,
now,
you're like, bro, I just really want you to have
there,
a good day.
Now, is there a distinction between rooting for him and
empathizing?
And empathizing with him?
Absolutely.
Because I think that...
I'm not saying I'm rooting for him.
I don't necessarily... I'm not...
Yeah, okay, so yeah, I was more empathizing
I'm not
with him.
Rooting for Arthur during this movie, but when he... I think when he gets his moments of him being beat down on a constant basis, and then he gets his, so to speak, this is where I fall off on this movie a little bit, because when it goes from Arthur being very self-involved and self-insulated, and his issues are the issues that he has with his mom, the issue he has with, you know, these people that, and then it expands out to like, we live in a society. Like, that's when I'm like, but you fucking lost me, man. Just a tiny, tiny bit. And that's where it loses me a little bit, because it goes.
You feel like it's biting off more than
I don't think
chew.
Arthur gives a fuck about society. And when he's like, you're the one that made
No, he gives a fuck about that no one cares what or thinks about what it's like to be the other guy. He does care about that. He doesn't care about politics. He says he's not political. He doesn't believe in anything. But we see him. He's an empathetic individual. We see him lose empathy little by little in slow motion.
Right.
In slow motion. By the end of it, he's killing the lady that's freaking interviewing him in the mental ward at Arkham. You know, presumably Arkham. I want to specify. I'm not saying I said, why do we root for the bad guy?
You mean in general?
Yeah, in general. I'm not in the movie theater rooting for the Joker.
You're a big Thanos guy.
Yeah, well, but I'm sitting there, I'm sitting there realizing that, okay, you know, when his buddies from work come to his apartment, and he's fucking bonkers insane, and he starts stabbing that guy in the face and all that, and that scene is fucking amazing.
Like, to me, that was one of the two really great scenes.
What I mean. When I watch a film like this, there's a lot of self-reflection going on for me, and I'm like, well, this is, you know, this. Why do we want to see this?
Because we're living vicariously through that act. You know, we've all had moments where, like,
it allows you your own catharsis. It allows you to kind of look at the stuff that I can't look at usually, and then. By the way, to finish off that scene, you remember at the end where he's letting the midget guy go?
Well, that's what I was just going to talk about.
Little person.
I was just going to talk about that in particular, where when we talk about tension building, and then the letting off of steam, this scene is probably the most perfect version of that thing that I have ever experienced in my life.
Because you didn't know if he was actually going to kill the little guy, you know? And then, like, when he kind of, like, lunged at him just jokingly, like, I'm like, oh, fuck, he actually was going to kill him. And then it's like, oh, okay.
And then he gets to the door and he can't, and then...
He can't reach the lock.
So then what it did on second viewing, too, because it's fucking hilarious and people are laughing. So here's the thing. We can collectively, as a society, we can go watch movies where people get killed, but we can't make jokes about midgets. Like, get it straight. If you can watch people get killed and pretend, then a midget joke's okay.
Yeah. I didn't necessarily think that was...
The point.
To be played for humor. Yeah. Like, I didn't think that was the point
of it.
I thought the point of it was that...
But I heard
you have two... Well, of course, because people just looked at it at surface level, but my brain instantly thought, oh, well, that's really smart, because there's two people in there. He knows that little guy can't reach the lock, so he'll be able to take out the big guy easily before anybody can get out, like, without, you know, getting caught, so...
Yeah,
there's no escape. And he didn't plan on killing the little guy.
It's a movie, too, that really understands laughter, in my opinion. We've talked about that before. Laughter is a defense mechanism.
Yep. Yeah.
So
I do it all the time.
That's the kind of laughter it's in this movie.
Okay, you know? So let's okay, we've talked about that scene. Man.
What?
Joaquin Phoenix portrayal of that malady where, you know, he laughs when, you know,
I found it grating.
He's emotionally high, so to speak, and he laughs. I don't think that I've ever seen anything quite that effective in terms of like a person emoting in a film. Those moments where he laughs to the point where he throws up, kind of like, you know, to himself, or it hurts his chest, he's like heaving, to keep laughing. Of. Fuck, man. Like,
it's painful.
It's. If Homeboy doesn't get nominated for an Oscar this year.
I mean, I'm sure he will. You know, there was a lot of controversy with this movie about like thinking it's going to inspire people to violence and all that shit. This movie honestly reminds me quite a bit of Falling Down, like that Michael Douglas movie from the 90s.
Sure.
With the exception being Arthur
you're seeing someone implode.
Well, Arthur is a emotionally crippled and destroyed guy, and you feel sad for him. Michael Douglas is more of like a, you know, you finally reach your breaking point. Like, we've all had that, like, oh my God, I just want to fucking punch you in the face kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so, like, you going back to, is there a difference between rooting and empathizing? I think we rooted for Michael Douglas and we empathized with Arthur.
Right.
And I think, if anything, Falling Down would have been more inclined to inspire violence in people, because it's more about reaching your frustration limit versus reaching your emotional bottom.
Well, Falling Down, the climax is where it kind of drops off to me with the rooting for him, because it ends in suicide.
Well, essentially, yeah. Death by cop. Yeah.
Well, I think too, you know, I think the movie has, obviously, I don't want to be too on the nose about it, but, you know, you're rooting and empathize. Well, you're rooting for Arthur, but then when the switch gets flipped over to Joker and he becomes Joker, I think that is the moment that you're like, okay, you know, the sympathy I have is sort of like, it needs to be re-cajiggered because.
Well, but see, when that happens though, is when the fucking film is like, it's like, you could almost watch this movie. I wish I'd seen this movie not knowing that it was based on the Joker. And then in the third act, you see him become the Joker. That's what it felt like.
You know
like.
What? That would have been really great.
That's what I kind of pretended the second viewing, because that's the best way to take it. It's like, this is about Arthur Fleck. And it's like, oh my God, this is the Joker. Like,
see, because
he comes out like gradually. And then it's like the essence of the character's on the screen by the end. And that's fucking crazy, dude.
One of my first reactions to Ollie after we watched this was, it didn't really feel like a Joker movie. It just felt, and it didn't really feel like a horror movie to me at all. Like, it's just more of like a descent into madness, which I guess
psychological.
Yeah, horror. You know, yeah. A lot of horror.
That like third that, anyway. That third act, I would qualify it the most, I think.
Well, yeah, definitely.
The shit on the talk show. I mean, that fucking scene was like, you know,
so
get what you fucking deserve. That whole thing. It's like, I know that this is juvenile or whatever. It's easy to say that. The impact of the scene though, to me,
was what was crazy about enormous. That scene in particular. And you know, I've talked a lot about this thing. You know, I always tell people to watch it, but it reminded me a lot of the Bud Dwyer suicide, where it felt very visceral and very real. And I will credit the filmmaking and
you were watching something you weren't supposed to see.
Yeah,
that's what it felt like.
That's exactly what it felt like. You know, it not necessarily.
Well, I haven't felt like that in a theater for a long time, especially a major studio film. And with fucking Joker slapped on it, that's why it felt. I was like, God damn, this is fucking.
Well, see, and that's right one now. Of the things that I do always that's say, what you like, always, makes horror.
You're always like, searching for
you
it,
you know. So it was there.
Like, yeah,
I mean,
well, and that's not. I mean, shit. I mean, when you talk about the topical stuff, we've got public shootings, mental illness, the disparity between the rich and the poor. I mean, it's crazy. To me, like, the resonance of it, again, on second viewing, once you know what to expect, once you know what you're not going to get, And once you know, okay, they're not going to completely botch this fucking thing, then, you know, focus
the the preamble doesn't seem silly.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Not on my second viewing.
All right.
And it seems, whatever slogginess, I get what you're saying. There is some like...
well, because it clocks in at what? Like 2 hours, 10 minutes, something like that?
206 is, I think.
206. The... I feel like it could have easily been 140 and I would have been totally fine with
it. I wasn't even sure how the whole Thomas Wayne, the whole Joker and Batman are brothers thing sat with me. The first viewing, even taking it as an Elseworlds,
it just shows that his mom is crazy. Like that's all that it is, you know. And it's more like you were talking about all these social issues that are going on there. But I feel like the most pronounced social issue there is the importance of treating mental illness.
Sure,
because the rich versus the poor wasn't even a thing in Joker's eyes, other than like, you know, he needed help.
Well, it's huge in the film thematically, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, from his mom,
right? And while he kills the three guys.
But it wasn't it wasn't intentionally. It was because they were fucking with him, you know? It wasn't because they were rich kids.
No,
it wasn't. They might have been just picking on him because they were privileged rich kids. But that's what people
made of it.
Yeah.
Right.
They made of it into some movement.
Yep.
And so that's the thing. Here's the thing. And a lot of people will... it's irresponsible, or that it doesn't... Basically, that it doesn't make good on what it's trying to do, because it gets to a point where it seems like it's going to analyze that kind of stuff, and then it gets to the third act, and you know, is he part of this movement? Does he care about this movement? No, like he starts a fucking riot on the fucking on the subway to evade the cops.
Yep,
a dude gets shot. He doesn't care about that, and then that's what I mean. The farther it goes into that kind of dangerous territory, the closer we're getting to the Joker.
See, but did you ever question how much of that was actually real? Because like you find out later on that he's kind of having like these hallucinations and these delusions, like
the whole thing with the lady and all.
Yeah,
that.
So then like when he's on the talk show, I start thinking like how much of this is real, how much of this is not real, you know, like is he now that John's here, I'm kind of
should we take a quick
I kind of want to watch what I say.
Should we take a quick break?
Yeah, just real quick.
All right. Don't worry about anything. Well, John usually doesn't care about the films themselves.
Yeah.
Well, rather the post discussion about the films.
Yeah.
What about you? How upset would you be if we spoiled Joker for you, Shane?
Incredibly upset.
Okay, good.
I'm not going to probably watch it for another year because I never go to
the theater.
Then in that case.
Then tough titties.
Yeah, spoilers abound then.
So, I mean, like, John kind of just asked, like, if we thought it would classify as a horror film, and Rhett said the third act. And I said, yeah, okay, I can see the third act, but the first two acts are kind of just like elevated horror where it's like you know and like I hate to fucking say that, but it really is, because it's like, yeah, life is hard and it's a matter of how you deal with it, you know. Or like, oh, the biggest horror in the world is like my own feelings and my own emotions, and it's like, yeah, okay, I get it, life is fucking hard, talk to a therapist, you know. But I think that's why I didn't really like the first two-thirds of the movie, is because it's just kind of that shit and over again.
Most horror films, you don't see the killer becoming the killer. That's what this film is. So it doesn't feel like a horror film, because you have an actual story and backstory and a motivation, you know. So that's why the only thing that qualifies is the third act, when he starts doing fucking mass
killings.
And
I guess if anybody qualifies as, you know, in popular comic books, I think the Joker probably does qualify as
a
horror
fucking
villain.
Mass murderer.
Well, yeah, so, of course.
You know, I think to qualify it as a horror film is probably not totally off the mark, but maybe, but see, you know, 10 degrees off.
Then that's one of those.
It's primarily a drama, I'd say, honestly.
Yeah.
But that third act is horrific. Like, I mean, I don't want to say it's horrific, but I mean, but this isn't like, it's not fucking Downton Abbey.
Well, see, the thing too is,
which I'm sure is very good.
Which is a terrible show, by the way.
You're talking about you never get to see the killer like develop their backstory, and I would argue that sometimes it's better. Like, well, look at.
Oh, sure. I'm not saying better or worse.
No, I know. But look at the Halloween franchise. You know, so when the first one came out, Michael Myers just this kid who just kills his sister, and you have no idea why. And it's just like, why?
Is part of the scariness,
exactly. But then the more they engaged in it, and it's like, okay, well, Laurie's actually his sister. That's why he's chasing Laurie. It's like, okay, well, that's less cool. And then like they did the whole Curse of the Thorn thing, and it's like, okay, that's less cool.
The more
cool.
The less scary.
And then when Rob Zombie came out and he did it, and he did Laurie's backstory, to me, that's part of the biggest reason that I hate that
The Laurie backstory.
Okay. Well, yeah, because Laurie was in the original, she was kind of the epitome of good, and it was very much this good versus evil. But Laurie is just like, you know, in a shitty household, and she's a foul mouthed little shit, and like she's just not the perfection or like the image of perfection anymore.
If you're so hungry.
Why don't you eat shit?
Just go eat shit.
And then Michael is just like, oh, his parents were dicks. And it's like, well, no, like if he's coming from like a really like upscale, like suburban family that appears to be loving and nurturing, it's all the more like terrifying that he's just this
Turned
monster.
Out the way he did.
Yeah. But when it's like, oh, you're from an abusive family, it's like, okay, well,
this kind of returns to the flexibility of these characters. Like the Joker's been, again, there's been a bunch of different versions of him in the source material, in the movies.
Well, the most recent version of Joker has him wearing his own face that he cut off, right? Like
in the comic?
Yeah.
It's really
so
bad.
I mean, like that.
Well, that's why I want to get in the Dark Knight in the Christopher Nolan version. We don't know his story. He keeps changing his backstory. So we've already seen that version where they don't have a definitive origin. And it was, for me, that's still the definitive version of the character, personally. But
the Dark Knight one?
Yeah.
See, I was just gonna ask, like, we've done a really good job of not comparing the two. Well, which portrayal do you think is better? Not
performance. Well, that's what I mean. I wouldn't even go better. This is a completely different take on the character.
The only one that actually sucks.
This is a character that usually doesn't get an origin. He has one origin story in the comic, and it's the Killing Joke by Alan Moore.
The only version of the Joker that actually
Jared Leto.
Jared Leto.
Fuck, dude, Jared Leto.
That one is wow.
Jared Leto, do a horror movie so I can talk more shit about you.
He's done some horror movies.
Well, he should do another one so I could talk more
shit. Oh, you want
he's doing Morbius, which is the fucking vampire character at Marvel. So here
no,
we go.
He's not.
Yes, he is.
Get out of here. Yes, he can't pull that off. Fucking,
I bet 30 Seconds to Mars will do a song, too.
They'll probably do the whole soundtrack.
He gets to fucking dress all goth like a vampire. I'm serious, I'm not making this up.
You think
up.
They're going to have the hand sucker part?
No. What the fuck is the hand sucker part?
On Morbius, remember from the fucking.
Are you thinking Vampire Hunter?
That's what I was thinking.
No. Remember in the animated series, Morbius has those little suckers on his hand.
Shit, yeah, he does.
Yeah, dude, that's how he sucks the blood.
Dude, that's gotta be good for fucking jerking yourself off.
Yeah. You suck the own blood, your own blood out of your own dick.
You're sucking the blood to the
and
fucking
then circle
to the
it back,
D, so it's just raging and hard with like the giant veins looking like they're gonna explode, and then you're just fucking. Yeah, it's sucking jerk at the same time.
Out of all the
circulating
holes.
The blood out of the dick back to the dick.
Yeah.
Oxygenating in it, putting it back in the dick.
That's exactly what it's doing. Yeah. It's taking it's
dick-alysis.
Dick-alysis.
All into the D, and then it goes through your hand all the way up back to your lungs.
John from Dread Central, everybody.
See, it's dick month now.
It is dick month. Jonathan Barkon is gone.
Dick month
is
on
in.
DC. You heard it here first. Confirmed by John Condit.
So are they rebranding it to Dick Central?
Yeah, Dick Central.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
No.
You heard it here
first. The Who Goes There Doncast.
So to circle back to your point, I don't think that my like Jared Leto just kidding. I don't think that Heath Ledger did a better performance. I think that they're equally different.
They
I think
had different jobs in these movies.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
I like that portrayal more. Like I think I like the really zany, just
well, they were smart
shit,
not
crazy.
To try to repeat that.
Yeah,
right, definitely. And I mean, I do appreciate this version of the Joker, but I just it's not what I expected
and
from the movie.
The neat thing too, I think that he didn't try to recreate the laugh altogether.
You know, I honestly thought his laugh was very reminiscent of Mark Hamill's laugh in the animated series.
Kind of a kooky laugh.
I feel like that's kind of where, kind of
and
where
also,
the,
if you
the inspiration
notice
for that,
that
came
when
from.
He does flip to Joker, his reflex or what's the word?
It goes away.
Because
he's got the mask, which is another like.
Oh, you mean like the more angry he gets?
Well, no, the more he becomes the Joker, the less he doesn't have to do that nervous. That condition goes away because now he's in character.
He's full id.
He's full. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's no. He can feel how he feels because before he's trying to have him to constantly hide it.
Well, I really appreciated all the times where he's dancing in the movie, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, those were really good scenes.
See, those were fucking great, dude.
Yeah.
No, it was because it was like his, yeah. After his first murders, it's like birth. You know, he goes in that fucking public bathroom and starts doing like interpretive dance.
Yeah, it's like elation.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you, well, because like his movements are so like
fluid.
I mean, before that, they're so unassured. You know, he doesn't have any confidence. Like, yeah. He just like walks like he's just got the weight of the world on his shoulders. And that's like he's feeling fancy free.
I would almost suggest that if you watch the dance moves themselves, I bet that there's some choreography happening there. Like,
I'm sure there is.
You know, there's.
I don't think he just did that on the spot, dude.
And having seen a few dances myself, no, and I don't mean that.
You can dance, dude?
I don't mean that in like a shitty way. Like Ronnie used to do interpretive dance when I first met her. So like I kind of
I can totally see that.
Flashback to the Suspiria.
Flashback
episode.
To when we first fucking met, dude. and so that stuff to me, I think even that moment speaks very loudly because it's not just him being silly; it's him evoking the emotion of murdering someone.
Okay, now important question: what's more impactful, the scene where he's in the bathroom dancing, or the scene where Moose is in the bathroom getting ready?
Moose, always.
I mean, Moose wins every time.
Well, that's why you guys are. It sounds vaguely let down by this movie because
it's not Moose.
You saw
it doesn't live up to the Fanatic.
Last month,
you saw, dude. Yeah.
This film stole.
John, I saw the Fanatic last week.
John, you haven't seen the Fanatic?
Oh my god,
my
dude!
This is an event. This is a big deal.
It's a DEFCON 1. Dude.
If there's no distro rights that are bought up, Epic needs to get on snatching that shit up. I need a Blu-ray of this shit yesterday.
It's caused such a stir here that I wanted it taken out of the running for best or worst film because it's number it's one in both categories. Yeah.
It transcends all like
we
classifications.
Need Fred Durst on the show like yesterday.
Yeah.
If you can, John, handle that for us.
I'd like to see Fred Durst play the Joker. That's what I would like to see.
I'd like to see Moose play the Joker.
So anywho, to finish up with Joker.
I don't get the huge amounts of praise that are being dumped on it. I can definitely see how it's a great movie. I feel like you can appreciate it the first time you watch it, but to fully understand it and be able to take it all in, you have to watch it at least twice. Regardless of what I have said tonight, do plan on watching it again for what that's worth.
I think you'll enjoy it more the second time.
I'm sure I will too. Now that I kind of like know where it's going and like I can start to, you know, the first one I'm just trying to take in the whole plot and what's going on. And then I can start breaking down like why it's good or why it's not good.
Yeah. I knew the approach would be different based on the trailers and all that, but I didn't know it would be this drastically different.
I think overall the movie has some lulls in the beginning and lulls as well. But I think that there are a handful of scenes that are absolutely brilliant and it more than makes up for the sort of like,
yeah, if you want to see just how like deep the thought process on this movie goes, like watch that YouTube. I don't remember who it was, but if you search on YouTube, like Joker director breaks down scenes.
That's a good video.
Speaking of the Joker director, you guys know who this is, right?
Yes.
The guy that directed Joker.
Well, he did The Hangover, and he did The Hangover, and he did Old School. So I love both
of those movies.
So do I. This is quite a stretch for him. So he understands humor and all that. But
again,
he also did Due Date. I don't know if you ever saw that movie. It's not very good, but it's extremely fucking.
It's a comedic director dipping his toes in, you know, pseudo horror.
Right.
And it works.
Pretty fucking impressed.
Yeah.
By how he handles these themes and the visual aspect. I mean, those are competently made movies.
I'm just glad they didn't have like a group of black kids beating him up in the beginning because I would have been like, God, really, bro? But
well, I mean,
think all that stuff was handled.
I feel like everybody kind of would have been like, oh God, really, bro? I mean,
what the fuck?
Well, you know, because like we were talking about like the whole Get Out thing where everybody's like, well, it's political horror now. I feel like they were
dropping so many social issues on there. They're like, you know, we're already really heavy. We don't need to drop race into this too far.
The way to phrase it for me is that horror has become the go-to genre for topical stuff. Like, you know, it really has with Get Out and with Us and Well, because shit's fucking crazy right now.
Yeah. Well, and also I think that
people are ready for heavier
shit. I think that what happens necessarily with horror is that the production times are a little bit shortened. So, you know, things that happen topically are able to be addressed more quickly.
Like South Park.
Where like if Avengers were trying to handle, you know, an Avengers level threat with racism, it would take 4 years and then maybe we would hit, you know, something.
Maybe racism would be gone by then.
Yeah, maybe racism no longer exists when half the world is gone.
On that note too, being that the movie's like set in the late 70s, early 80s, these issues, it's not like these issues didn't fucking exist ever.
They were worse.
Right. They've always, this isn't like that. So when we say topical, like, or when we say, what's the other?
It's timeless.
This is fucking ongoing. And so I think that helps to have like a protracted view of this shit, that this isn't just like, oh, ripped out of today's headlines. It's like, no, this is ongoing human existence. Like it keeps fucking going like this. Because it wasn't, like you said, it was worse. If you look statistically,
yeah,
violence was worse at that time.
So, I mean, Gotham City.
You just hear about it more now.
Gotham City is always analogous to New York.
I
really enunciated weirdly on that one.
New York?
New York.
New York.
And the murder rate in New York in the late 70s, early 80s is something like.
Especially once the government introduced crack.
It's like a special hell. That right. happened in New York. And in fact, there's a podcast I listen to that talks about this detective who actually made the, you know, he unified all the boroughs, and they were talking about how like all of these boroughs had to report in the crimes and the murders and everything. And that's how you finally found out which were the most violent areas of New York. And that's how they were able to like pin down, like, how do we fix this? How do we, and, you know, murder rates in America overall have gone down drastically over the last 20 years. But dude, I mean.
That's because now we just get them all in one group.
Oh, fuck.
Well, that's
easier that way.
God damn, dude.
It's like wholesale murder.
That's what's popping up in people's heads hearing that. But and that's the thing. That accounts for like maybe 0.05 of murders nationwide in a year. It's a very small number, it's very sensationalized that you get coverage on television, on social media, everything. You hear about everything 10 times now.
You know why else the murders are down? Global warming.
It's
totally true. No, like statistics have shown that when it's really hot or when it's really cold, like murders tend to go down.
Invented global warming. Didn't you know that?
He discovered global warming. He's also actively fighting Man Bear Pig. We owe him a debt of gratitude.
He discovered global warming.
How into like video game news are you?
I mean, it depends.
So have you been following these like Hong Kong protests at all in the last like?
I have not.
Quite a bit actually.
Okay, so did you see the shit today about Blizzard?
Yep, they banned like a good.
Holy
World
fuck.
Of Warcraft player or something because he supports Hong Kong.
We are on the worst timeline, like hands down.
Censorship is coming. The police state is coming.
So get this.
Enjoy Who Goes Their podcast while you can.
So get this. Yeah. So Blizzard is a company that's
World of Warcraft.
It's a U.S. based company.
Sure.
And one of their biggest fan bases in China,
which is why the fucking movie did well there. Did you
correct.
Know that?
That
was a World of Warcraft movie. It
didn't fucking do well here.
I forgot all about that.
Not very good.
I want to watch that. That's a huge failure I need to watch.
It's not very good, but it's fun.
It's like a $200 million
I've watched
movie.
It, and it's real fun, but it's not good.
See, that sounds like a good time.
Yeah. So anywho, you know, this streamer who has made Blizzard probably millions of dollars goes on to say something about Hong Kong and like, you know, like... Whatever the actual message is. But Blizzard bans his ass for a year and he cannot make any more money for a whole...
Blizzard is probably getting a...
They banned him.
And rescinded his money. Yeah.
And fired the two hosts of the stream and deleted the stream.
Real Jesus Christ.
Yeah, real fucking ugly.
Well, you know what, too? It's a lot of irony there because it's the reason is the reason is money. Because they don't want
because dollars.
Well, yeah, Blizzard probably gets a bunch of money from China.
And likewise,
the Chinese
box office is going to overtake American box office. It's projected to in the next 5 years.
Wow.
Once that happens, I mean, you get what I'm saying?
I get what you're going, dude.
Yeah, so it's not like it's not even ideological. It's just dollars. Yeah. The dollars will just run this shit.
Yep.
So
some real ugly shit happening. It's wild.
Yeah.
Well, then, hey, look, dude. We live.
So you guys like Joker more than in you a society. Thought. That's good.
I liked it.
I'm just.
All right. Well, that's the Who Goes There podcast for episode 232. Any last words, Matthew?
Nope. When we do the next episode, you'll get my whole recap of the Telluride Horror Show, which is going to be awesome. I'm leaving in like 36 hours. I can't fucking wait. I have definitely been streaming more often. I think 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. is going to be the time.
We're going to need to bump those hours.
We'll see. So get on that. You can go to twitch.tv/whogoestherepodcast for that. Also find us on all social media and go to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast and help us do this show. And if you want one of our sweet new shirt designs, you can go to whogoestherepodcast.storeenvy.com.
That's it, dummies. We love you. That's been it for episode 232. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Mads.
This is Rhett.
And I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.